are quite different. Though you might feel I am starting prematurely, I've allowed myself 5 minutes to give you boring notices before our service starts, and we're looking forward to Roz leading our worship this morning. I have managed to generate 6 notices, despite the fact we have a weekly notice sheet that comes around by email, so my apologies. First of all, if you weren't here last Sunday and wanted to make an Easter offering, there were envelopes last Sunday. This morning, those envelopes are only available in this section of the church.
Just notices.
However,
just notices.
I have left some envelopes on the table at the back, and it is for Methodist church work overseas.
Good morning. We just started notices slightly early. So
the second notice was that there is a special worship committee meeting tomorrow night at 7:30 here. So if you have any contribution that you think you would like to make to that worship committee's discussion, thinking about our worship in the church going forward, it is an open meeting to which we are all welcome, and it would be lovely to see you at 7:30. My third notice was to let you know about the food bank. So I am going to be taking food bank stuff in the next week or so. We've got a very large crate of materials there already. When I took the stuff the last time, the guys that received it from us at the food bank in Macclesfield told me a lovely story, and they said that they'd actually had contact with somebody in Boynton who needed food, and she was phoning to ask, and she was very apologetic, but she hadn't got money, she hadn't been able to get what she would normally get for the family, but also she had a cat. And was there any chance at all that they had cat food? At which point, he told me, somebody came in off the street with a large bag of cat food to say, would you take this? To which their normal answer would be no. But on the phone he had a lady from Poynton who had just pleaded for cat food. And so she had a delivery of food, possibly rather inefficiently, from Poynton Methodist Church, or the Baptist Church, down to Macclesfield, back to Poynton, along with some cat food. I thought that was just lovely. My fourth notice, coffee. Now, you'll be aware that our COVID rules for church are a little bit laxer now, so that if you are uncomfortable wearing a mask, you do not have to, because we know that COVID transmission, though still high, isn't resulting in quite as much hospitalisation. However, the time that we're most at risk is when we have our coffee afterwards and none of us are wearing masks. So you're welcome to have your coffee in the lobby area, you're welcome to have your coffee in rooms 1 and 2, and this morning, because the sun is out and it is beautiful, you are encouraged to have your coffee outside, where it's safest. COVID matters again. David Garrett is our pianist this morning. Only David has COVID. So he's rung this morning to say he's staying at home rather than bringing and sharing his COVID with all of us. And so our amazing electronic sound team are going to lead us through our worship with a mixture of musical formats. And thank you for your enjoyment of worship in that way. My last notice is to let you know that we now do have the date and time for Joan Horner's service of commemoration. So that'll be on the 13th of May. It'll be here at 11:45, and that will follow a family service at the crematorium. I see now that it is not that I'm 5 minutes slow, but actually that the clock has stopped. You shall all be delighted to know that Roz is leading the service this morning.
Well, Stephen said he'd easily be able to fill in 5 minutes, but that would be 2 hours if we were looking at that clock, wouldn't it? And just one more notice. I know you've been sort of noticed out this morning, but just one more. The Easter offering envelopes are still out this week. There's some by the basket in the foyer if anybody did want to give to our Easter offering this year. So let's just have a few moments of quiet before we begin. And let us pray. Living God, we thank you for this day of praise and celebration, a day of hope after despair, joy after sorrow, life after death, a day to lift up our hearts and to offer you our praise. Loving God, we remember today all you have done for us and for all the world, your Easter victory over sin and death, your triumph over everything that keeps us from you and prevents us living the life you want us to lead. Saving God, we join with your church in every age to bring our Easter season worship, to acknowledge you as a God of love and power, to welcome Christ as our living Lord. Sovereign God, breathe new life into our hearts this day. Fire us with renewed confidence and enthusiasm. Fill us with resurrection power and grant that we might meet and talk with Christ, offering him our joyful, faithful service this day and every day. For his name's sake. Amen. Living God, we come to you, conscious that there is so much in our lives that is uncertain, so much we cannot predict, so much we neither know or understand. Assure us of the victory you have won in Christ. Remind us once more through this season that in all the changes and chances of this world, you are an unchanging rock, an unfailing deliverer, and an everlasting hope. Assure us of the victory you have won in Christ. Remind us as we continue to celebrate Easter that your love continues through all things, your power is supreme over all things, and your presence is with us in all things. Assure us of the victory you have won in Christ. Give us this day a sense of your greatness, a recognition of all you have done, and a confidence in all you shall do. Assure us of the victory you have won in Christ. Living God, be among us now through the risen Christ. Help us to hear his voice, to offer him our service, and to offer you our praise. We know that our hope is in you and you alone. Help us to accept that, to live in that assurance, and so to follow wherever you might lead us. Assure us of the victory you have won in Christ, for in his name we ask it. Amen. In a few moments, we are going to meet Mary, Cleopas's wife. We are continuing with the theme that we started in Holy Week of meeting some of the women that would have accompanied Jesus in the last weeks of his life and who were witnesses of his resurrection. So I'm going to begin by reading from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13, on the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. And now we meet Mary, Cleopas's wife.
"My name is Mary." No, not the one you're thinking about, not the mother of Jesus. And no, not that one either, not Mary Magdalene. There's so many of us Marys and Miriams around, it's easy to get confused. I am Mary, the one who's married to Cleopas. I was there at the crucifixion, holding up Jesus' mother Mary as a sword pierced her soul, brutal inch by brutal inch. Today, we were walking home to Emmaus. When I say walking, it was more like dragging ourselves. More than once, I felt like lying down on the edge of the road and never moving again. I don't think I've ever felt so weary and hopeless in all my life. I don't really know what I'd been expecting, but it wasn't this. Jesus was the kind of person who gave you such hope in him, in the world, in yourself. And I knew that if I could just be near him, that hope would grow and never stop. We had hoped that he would redeem Israel. Now I think about it, I'm not really sure what I thought that meant. He didn't have the look to be a military leader. I don't mean he was meek and mild. He could rage with the best of them and often did. It was more that brandishing a sword wasn't his style. I suppose I imagined the whole host of heaven would come down and drive out the Romans, as in the stories of old. I realise how daft that sounds now I say it out loud, but I did believe he could, and I did believe he would. So this morning, after everything that had happened, we packed our bags and went home. I thought it was a bit soon, but on that long, awful day on Friday, I watched my hope ebb away with ever-dying breath he took. And then the women came this morning to tell us the tomb was empty, saying something harebrained about him being risen from the dead. We'd rushed outside and seen the world exactly as it had always been. Roman soldiers and all. The fight went out of me and we packed up and left. It was Cleopas who started the row. He started by grumbling that I'd been the one to follow that Jesus in the first place. And if it hadn't been for me, he'd have been comfortably at home right now. That did it. I let him have it all. All my pent-up anger and hurt and bitterness spewed out over him in a massive tidal wave. I was taking a breath for the second wave when I became aware of a stranger just standing there, smiling at us, asking us what we were talking about. Cleopas glared at him in disbelief. Are you the only one who has no idea what has been going on? The stranger smiled again. Maybe I am. Why don't you tell me about it while we walk?
And we sing together, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Stop.
So we did, turn and turn about. We told him about our hopes and fears, about Jesus and what he'd meant to us. Stranger though he was, I found myself telling him things I'd never imagined saying out loud. We even told him about the story the women had told this morning about him being alive. He listened and nodded and listened and nodded. Then suddenly he said, "How stupid you are and slow to catch on." I thought it was a bit rude, frankly. But then he began telling us about the scriptures, and I forgot to be annoyed. Starting at the very beginning, he laid it all out. He told my story, all my hopes and my dreams, in the words of the scriptures. My heart leapt and burned within me. I was so totally and utterly absorbed that I was amazed to hear him saying, "Look, your village is down there. I'll leave you here and travel on." We had travelled 7 miles. It felt in an instant. All of a sudden, I couldn't bear the thought that this stranger might leave us. It felt as though I'd known him all my life. It seemed Cleopas felt the same, and so we begged and cajoled, pleaded and persuaded him to eat with us. Eventually, he gave in and came with us.
And we sing, "In Christ alone, my hope is found."
And he is mine, born with the crown.
I'd brought food back with us from Jerusalem, so it was only a matter of minutes before we were ready to eat. It was, I remember thinking, a little bit forward of him to take the bread and bless it. That was Cleopas's job as host. But the thought had gone as soon as it half formed in my mind. The arms of the man's tunic slipped downwards as he raised his hands, revealing gaping holes in each wrist. And the words of blessing and gratitude to his Father in heaven, were words I'd heard every single day for the past few years, words he'd said every time he took bread and blessed it. I looked at the bread in my hand, and in that moment I knew it was him. He's alive. He is alive. He is alive. Cleopas's mouth formed the words faster than mine did. But he was gone. The loaf falling to the plate with a crash. We sprang to our feet and ran quicker than I could ever have imagined was possible. Our feet beating out the rhythm as we went. He's alive! He's alive! He's alive!
And we sing, He has risen.
Thank you.
We arrived in Jerusalem, hot and breathless. I thought you went home, said Peter. Voices around the room chimed in. So did we. You might have said goodbye. You can't just go off like that. I was still panting, trying to catch my breath, unable to speak. We've got news, said Peter. Mary. Yes, that one. The one you are thinking about, Jesus' mother, spoke quietly, but her voice cut through all the hubbub. If you give them a moment, I think you'll find they have to.
And so let us pray. And to the words, Lord of life, would you respond, hear our prayer. Lord of life, hear our prayer. Loving God, we praise you for this Easter season that changes the way we think, the way we act, the way we live, that changes everything. Lord of life, hear our prayer. And so we pray now for change in our world, in your world, Lord. For change in all those places where there is human need. We pray for the poor and the homeless, the sick and the hungry. We pray for those who visit food banks in this country. And for those who are fearful of the rising cost of living. For those who have to choose between eating and heating. Lord of life, hear our prayer. We pray for the victims of war, for refugees, for divided communities and countries. We continue to hold before you, Lord, the people of Ukraine. The people of Palestine with the new tensions arising there. And so many other places that have fallen from our newsreels, where people suffer. People like us, who just want to live a peaceable life. Going to work, coming home, looking after their families. And yet find themselves in the middle of war. We pray for asylum seekers across the world. We pray for those who will set out on unseaworthy boats or allow themselves to be put inside containers on tankers. So desperate for safety, for a better life. We pray for our government, that their policies, their actions, their laws, all that they say and all that they do will be Christian in principle, will be fair and honest, just and humane. Lord of life, hear our prayer. We pray for the sorrowful, the fearful, the troubled in heart and mind. And we give thanks for the lives of Joan Horner and Marion Bamford. And we hold their families and their friends in our prayers. And in the silence, we bring before you, Lord, others who are on our hearts and minds this day. Lord of life, hear our prayer. We pray for the oppressed and the persecuted, the imprisoned and the exploited. Lord of life, hear our prayer. Living God, may the truth of Easter break into each and every one of these situations, bringing help and healing, strength and support, comfort and courage, hope and help, faith and freedom, love and life, the change that you alone can bring. Lord of life, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We offer to you, Lord, this morning our gifts, the monetary gifts and also the gifts of our lives, acknowledging that all we are, all that we have, has come from you. So we offer back to you and pray that you will use all to further your kingdom in this place. And we offer all of our prayers in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In a moment we will sing our final hymn together this morning, and then we will remain standing for a prayer and blessing. And then before we go out for our coffee and tea, if you would just sit down again, I've got a little bit to say about Love Poynton and a video put together by Churches Together to show you about that event that's happening in June. But first we sing together, Before the Throne of God Above. Go now and proclaim the gospel, not just through words, but deeds, through what you say, what you do, and who you are. May others, as they meet with you, meet with Christ and know his living presence for themselves. Amen. And let us bless each other with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Yes, I think we've mentioned love pointing to you at various times over the last few months and at Church Council, of course, as well. The two-day event is happening in June, and the preparations, the organisation, which is mainly being done on behalf of Churches Together, mainly being done by Poynton Baptist Church, are coming along. We need to be involved, and there are lots of jobs for us to take part in. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. I didn't see it, but it should be in the foyer. I will check, or it's in the office. I'll certainly get that out. So there's all sorts of things that you can be involved in. If you're good at face painting, or if you've, you could do that, or you could, if you have a gazebo that you can lend, that would be helpful. There's all sorts of things, and the same video and the same sort of call out for help is going around all of the churches. And we can all invite everybody and anybody that we want to. It's a free two-day event. So bring your family, bring your friends, bring your neighbours, and it should be a really good, hopefully good weather, but it should be a really, really good event for us to be part of and working together as Churches Together. So here's, it may be quite loud this, so I'm just warning you now in case you've settled down, but here's a video.
We are so excited as the Churches Together in Poynton to put on the most fantastic event for our community this summer. Love Poynton Festival is taking over our town, filled with music, food, inflatables and much, much more. And the best part is, it's completely free.
There's something for everyone. On Saturday night, we'll be putting on a huge party for the youth of our town. Think Glasgow, but Poynton. We've got two awesome bands, LZ7 and Saints, will be performing live on the big stage to give our youth an incredible night, whilst bringing them the powerful message of Jesus.
Guys, two-day event hosted by the Churches of Poynton, and we need your help. Could you be part of the site team, the setting up team, the welcome team? Could you be an activity host? Save the date, invite your mates, bring them along, and pray that God will do something massive in Poynton this summer.
And if you decide to do an activity, all the activity craft materials will be provided for you. You would be the host on the table helping people to do those. So there's no cost in that for if you decide. And if you have an idea of something that you would like to do, please suggest that as well. And the equipment and everything can be found and bought, and you can host that. So I've remembered where the list is. I think it's on the notice board. So we'll get that down and put it into the foyer. So please have a think about what you may be able to offer and who you may be able to invite to this event. Thank you. And tea and coffee, I think, now.